most noted paradoxes of the Divine Comedy is the pervasive presence of pagan classical antiquity in what was meant to be and is Europe's greatest Christian poem. English Dante scholar Kenelm Foster devoted a series of three essays to interpreting and reconciling the two Dantes found in the poem, the Christian and the classical. The juxtaposition and interweaving of classical and Christian is found from the poem's beginning to its last line. In the second canto, Mary, Lucy, and Beatrice decide to rescue Dante from the moral, religious, and artistic dead end where he's trapped by sending him, not a Christian saint or a biblical prophet, but a damned pagan poet. I'm speaking theologically correctly there. This is not my Jack Bauer moment there. Damn it, Chloe, where's Virgil? That is what Virgil is, sent to guide him on his journey to the beatific vision. At least two-thirds of the way there. The last line of the poem, the love that moves the sun and the other stars, echoes Aristotle, Metaphysics 12 or Lambda 8, although with the Christian content. It's all the more striking where the reader least expects it. For instance, in the cornice of purgatory devoted to the sin of pride, pride is from one point of view a distinctively Christian sin, since Aristotle, for Dante the philosopher, praises the magnanimous man, the man with a due sense of his own worth. In Purgatorio 10, Dante views the whip of pride, bas-relief panels carved on the cornice's wall, portraying three scenes of humility. Mary accepting her mission with the words, Ecce Ancillae Dei, behold God's handmaiden, from Luke 1:38. Then David singing and dancing to the glory of the Lord, though to the disgust of his wife Micah, in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And then, rather unexpectedly, the Roman Emperor Trajan, who halts his troops to dismount and secure justice for a poor widow. This bas-relief anticipates Trajan's posthumous baptism by Pope Gregory the Great, which will be recounted in Paradiso 20. In Canto 13, Dante sees the reign of pride, 13 bas-reliefs carved into the pavement over which the souls pass. These bas-reliefs present examples of pride. The poetry describing them is as elaborate as the art it describes. The first letter of the first four tercets begin with the letter V equals U. The second set of four tercets begin with the letter O. The third set with the letter M. While the three lines of the last tercet begin each with the letter V, O, M, WOM, WOMO. Man. Pride is a distinctive human vice. The examples are carefully selected to balance Christian and classical. Satan, Briareus, the giants, Nimrod, Niobe, Saul, Arachne, Rehoboam, Alcmaeon, Sennacherib, Cyrus, Holofernes, and finally, the fall of Troy. There are six biblical examples and seven classical ones. First example is the archetypal example of pride, Satan. By that sin fell the angels, Cardinal Wolsey reminds us in Shakespeare's Henry VIII. Dante would have really loved Cardinal Wolsey, I'm sure. The culminating one, the one where the word WOM is most clearly spread out, is Troy. So the term paradox is not quite adequate, nor is another common term, what Dante is doing, fusion of the classical and Christian. In this passage and others, he's rather juxtaposing classical and biblical, although this may be because verbal art takes place in time. A stream of examples in the reign of pride makes the point perhaps more clearly than the three on the whip, because the poet seems to be taking examples from the two sources almost at random, because both are equally valid sources for religious and moral truth. And both report essentially the same message. Pride is a vice.